Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews in it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome back to the AFL Draft Takeover of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We're only days away. The National Draft begins next Wednesday, and we are here taking over the podcast once again. But today, it's a mock draft special. Dan Batten and I, Jordan Pinto, are going to take you through how the entire draft could play out, every pick from every round. Let's see who your club could land.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special presentation, an AFL 2021 mock draft. The real AFL National Draft is 8 days away, but we're going to give you an early preview of what might play out. I'm Mel Payton from the Herald Sun, and we've got Dan and Jordan here, our talent watchers who've been following this all year, probably the last 2 or 3 years, really, to see who they think is going to go at the top end of the draft. We're going to try and get through the whole thing here, but we'll spend probably a little bit more time on those top end picks. Dan, welcome aboard. We did one of these a few weeks ago, so I'll be interested to see what has changed since then. But at that time, I spoke to Jordan about how lucky he was being in South Australia that he was able to actually go out and see some of these junior stars in action. But you actually got a bit of taste of that yesterday down at Sandringham. So can you tell us what happened down there and who caught your eye?
G'day, Al. Great to be here. A second mock draft at a full edition. So looking forward to get stuck into that. But yes, yesterday, a host of recruiters from all 18 clubs were watching over 50 Victorian draft prospects. Some missed due to injury, including Sam Darcy, who we found out yesterday has grown an extra 2 centimetres. So he's now 205 centimetres. Will make him equal to Tim English when he joins the Bulldogs next year. But yeah, it was an interesting day, a fairly pedestrian training session overall, but it really was just a reminder of what some of these prospects are capable of. You saw Nick Dacos' class in the drills. You saw Josh Sinn's speed, breakaway speed when he was leading up. So, yeah, it was just a reminder really for recruiters that these guys are among the top talents in the land. And I'm sure some talents, including Finn Callahan, who we also discovered has grown another 2 centimetres. That could boost his standing, potentially being now 191 centimetre midfielder. Sounds a little bit better than 189. And, you know, he's been touted as a top 3 selection. So it was an interesting day and good to see those prospects in the flesh for the first time since about August.
Yeah, for sure. Jordan, welcome aboard. So I'll get you to explain in a second exactly how this is kind of play out, but a little curveball for you. Another bit of draft news, well, sort of draft news that happened yesterday was some recruiting news in Hugh Greenwood ending up at North Melbourne. Firstly, what did you think when you saw that come through? And I mean, could that impact what North does given they have the number one selection?
Oh, yeah, big one out. It was a surprise, and we saw the big sort of not blow up, but there was a made of what Gold Coast did last week, delisting him in a list management ploy, a broader list management ploy. But, you know, I guess he's been delisted, he's on the market. So kudos to David Noble and North Melbourne. We know Noble's sort of one that sort of initiated the advance to Hugh Greenwood. He's not on an AFL list, so it was sort of free game. So an interesting one and plenty to play out, I think. I'd like to hear from what the Suns have to say more on that, I reckon, in the coming weeks. But interesting one. But no, I don't think it'll change what they do at pick one. They might not look for another big body to support a Horn Francis later in the draft. They've got Hugh Greenwood now that to come in and protect those young midfielders. I think it's a good get, but in terms of what they do at the top end, I think they'll stick with Horn Francis.
And how's this mock draft going to work for people watching out there?
So last time, a month ago, I think now, we did the top 30. Dan and I took turns picking with the clubs. We've switched clubs this time and we've gone 9 each. We've got 9 clubs each. And we're going to do the top 25 live right now. We've got a pool of players we're going to pick from. We also did offline. We did the later end of the draft as well, which we'll run through afterwards. But the top 25, 35 players we're going to go through right now, take it in turns and pick for your club. See, just I guess to give everyone understanding of how it might play out. Now, we're doing it mainly on list needs and who we rate as the best talent. Apart from, you know, a phantom draft, which we will be releasing next Monday as well, based on the latest mail intel that we've got and the reporters from the News Corp team and how it might play out next Wednesday. But today is more of an exercise on how we rate the talent and who could fit your club.
And to keep it as real as possible, there's potentially some live trading could happen. There'll definitely be some father-son bids that come in. So that'll give us an idea of how that will all work live when the draft rolls around next week. So we better get straight into it because there's plenty of picks to get through. So at pick number one, Dan Batten is selecting for North Melbourne. Drum roll, who's going to go with the number one pick this year, Dan?
So we debated between Dacos and Horn Francis, me and Jordan, throughout the year, and I think I'm going to have to settle on the same selection that Jordan made last mock draft, and that's going with Horn Francis with the number one pick from South Adelaide. Obviously, considered bidding on Nick Dacos, but I feel like he's just deserving of being the number one man after his exploits in the sample over the past two seasons, particularly at the end of the year when he dominated and, you know, took a prelim final by storm and nearly won the game really off his own boot. So, you know, he's a powerful midfield prospect. You know, he can take overhead marks. He can do it all, really. And I think he'll spark North Melbourne's rebuild. And, you know, he has a nice running mate there in Hugh Greenwood, as you mentioned earlier.
Dacos didn't sway you yesterday with his silky skills out there at Trevor Barker Oval?
Yeah, and he also was had some funny lines in his interview as well. He's obviously a very cool, calm and collected prospect, and I expect him to be a future star as well. But I think you've got to take Jason Horne-France with the number one pick with what he's displayed this year.
All right. Now, pick two currently held, Jordan, by GWS Giants after a trade they did last year with Collingwood. So we know you guys interviewed the GWS recruiters a couple of weeks ago. Where do you think they'll go here?
Interesting one. They've Adrian Caruso gave his time kindly to the Herald Sun Footy podcast and almost confirmed that the four players in the mix, and there's also the clubs have come pretty hard for this pick in the top 10. I guess, you know, that second live pick. So we know they can't trade now, but it all opens up again ahead of the draft. So this pick potentially could change hands if some clubs can convince the Giants. But in this exercise, I'm going to keep the pick. Sam Darcy, you know, he probably fits potentially more of a need for the Giants given the stack of midfielders they have. But I think I have to bid on the second best player in the draft, make Collingwood pay up. So I will bid on Nick Dacos for the Giants. And also, as Collingwood, the club I have control of, I'll match that bid as Collingwood. No hesitation there in matching the bid. Dan spoke about it. We know he's sublimely skilled. He's got the best footy IQ in the pool. And as we've mentioned before, he probably could have played for Collingwood this year as well. So no hesitation in matching the bid. And, you know, on points-wise, with a 20% father-son discount, which is applied to the pick for draft enthusiasts out there, the Magpies need 2013 draft value index points. So it means they'll lose picks 38, 40, 46, and 48 in the draft as well. So they won't enter back to the back end of the draft.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll see whether that will impact things at the top end. Picks might be shunted back a bit when some of these bids come in. But then when we get sort of the third, fourth round onwards, a whole heap of picks are going to come out. So teams that might have a pick 50 now might end up being high in the 40s because those picks will all go to pay those points. So if Collingwood moves up to pick two, that means GWS slides down one to pick three. What are you doing there?
I'm going to bid again. I mentioned it before, Sam Darcy. I'm going to place a bid on the Bulldogs' father-son prospect. Would love to have him at the Giants. And again, as the Bulldogs in this exercise, I will match. The Bulldogs, you know, will be stoked to land the most exciting keepers and prospect in the draft for 2 years running. Tamara Ugahagan last year, Sam Darcy this year. We've spoken about how well he moves for a 205 or 6 centimetre big man, I think, whatever Dan said now, and he's elite in the air at both ends of the ground. So that'll wipe out a few of the Bulldogs' picks, and it'll move their 45 as well back to 63, which we'll find out a bit later on. And also you can check out the full draft after this video ends.
So if people have been just sort of tuning in now, I mean, is there any chance at all that these bids won't be matched? And given that I think we know the answer to that, what's the logic that goes into, you know, GWS or clubs at the top of the order deciding whether to bid on these father-sons when they pretty much know they're not going to be playing for them anyway?
Yeah, that's the thing. Depends who they, at the top, I guess it's different. They want to make the player pick one. They want to crown, North Melbourne might want to crown Jason Horne-Francis number one player in the competition. But the Giants, you know, if they might bid on Sam Darcy. He's a player that sort of suits them more. They might bid, or they might let it go. But either player, probably not going to get past a bid at the Gold Coast Suns. And clubs stick to their talent orders well, and that's how they bid. And I'm sure they're not out there just trying to make them pay. Although sometimes we saw with the Crows last year, bidding on Jamara also helped wiped out one of the Dogs' pick that the Crows were able to slide in to pick James Rowe in last year's draft, and the Bulldogs were keen. So there is some of that at play behind the scenes, but mostly I guess you stick to your talent order and you bid on the players where they fit.
Yeah, a lot going on behind the scenes. So GWS still have this pick. Surely yep. There's no one else they can bid on now.
No, I'm finally going to pick now. With a few players in the mix, but, you know, Finn Callahan is hard to pass up here. You know, the Giants are going to probably also consider Mac Andrew and Josh Gibkus at this pick next Wednesday night. But, you know, I think Josh Rochelli is the one for me here at number four from the Murray Bush Rangers. I think in a team stacked of midfielders, the addition of, you know, arguably the most skillful player in the draft across half forward will be improve the Giants immediately. They have a need for some more impact in that front half. So I think him coming into that side can play straight away, doesn't take the spot of one of the other midfielders too. So, and this is probably my only chance to get him at the Giants this early.
All right, so now we're down to pick number five, and that is Gold Coast, which was originally pick three, but everything's been pushed back a couple of spots by those father-son bids. Now, a bit of heat on the Gold Coast recruiters here, you might think, after what played out over the last few days. So what are they going to do? Or who would you pick in this position, Dan?
Yeah, no pressure. And I mean, you know, there could be an argument for getting a midfielder after losing Hugh Greenwood, but I think they've got still stacked with quality young midfielders. So I'm going to go with the intercept star, Josh Gibkus. You know, he's a leading key defender in the pool, and I think his enormous vertical leap and his reading of the play will be a great asset to the Suns. He led the NAB League in intercept possessions this year, and he looked good yesterday in that trading session, didn't drop a thing in the marking drills. So, you know, I think he's one who may not be ready to go straight away, but he is in that Jake Lever mould. So a nice pickup for the Suns there at pick five.
And Jordan, the Crows have pick six, and the way it's played out here, there's still a few quality midfielders on the board. So what do you think the Crows will do?
Dan's got the Giants, and you know they're erupting over here in Adelaide if this happened on draft night. I think if Dan takes the player, he does for Crows fans.
Here at Marvel Stadium, it has erupted. It's really been a dream scenario for the Crows. We're picking up Finn Callahan from the Sandringham Dragons. As I mentioned, he's grown an extra 2 centimetres up to 191. He's been compared to Marcus Bontempelli, the Bulldogs captain. And he's really just, his speed, his agility, and his raking long left boot, capable of kicking long goals, really sets him apart from all the other midfielders in this pool. And I think he fits the Crows perfectly. I know Jordan has spoken and written previously that, you know, the Crows are crying out for a midfielder with speed and some height. And I think he gives a massive point of difference there for the Crows. And they'd be absolutely laughing if he slid to pick six.
Yep, pick seven. Sorry about that. It just doesn't quite work out as neatly as you'd like to be. Just switch from one to the other with all these bids. But I think we're back to Jordan with the Hawks now, who have pick seven, sort of unfamiliar territory for them high up in the draft.
Yeah, pretty simple one here on my hit list for the Hawks, still on the board. Josh Ward from the Northern Knights. A good player to kick off an important draft for the rebuilding Hawks. You know, he's a prolific ball winner. He's clean and clever by hand, but he's also very effective away from it and makes things happen. That's why I picked him ahead of a few others, and that's why I had him higher than a few other midfielders in the draft for the Hawks. So I think, if he's there for the Hawks on draft night, a similar thing potentially could happen.
And Dan, back to you. Looking at the Dockers, who have a pretty good hand in this draft. They're going to have a bit of a say in how things all play out. So they come in at pick eight. Who do you like here?
Yeah, they sure do have a good hand. And they got another pick in a couple of selections time. So I'm bearing that in mind. I know, especially after with Ben Hobbs still on the board, seriously considered him. But I'm going to go with the key forward, Jai Amis, who from East Perth, the dead-eye key forward who kicked 51 goals, 15 this year in the Waffle Colts. Would have played at higher levels, but was commuting 2.5 hours to and from games and trainings from his hometown in Busselton. So, yeah, I think the key forward is probably more of a need for the Dockers. I'll be looking at another taller midfielder, I think, in a couple of selections time if they are available. Fingers crossed.
And Jordan, next up, we've got the Tigers coming in with their first pick. There's been some speculation they might try and do a deal. You mentioned earlier with the Giants, I reckon they may have been one of the clubs that just gave them a call to see if they were open to potentially trading that top three pick. But if that doesn't happen and they come in here at what would be pick 9, who do you think they could nab?
Yeah, I reckon a Finn Callahan could definitely suit if they do. Can convince the Giants to trade that pick, but Al and I just did a virtual high five when Dan passed this bloke up for the Tigers. Ben Hobbs, he mentioned him. I can't say his name quick enough. And from the Greater Western Victoria Rebels, Dockers passed him up. Dan's passed him up. Will they do that on draft night? Remains to be seen. But strong leader, competitive. He's elite on the inside, and you know he's a great long-term replacement to lead that midfield when the likes of Trent Cotchin step away. So Ben Hobbs at the Tigers, and we speak about Frio's draft hand, the Tigers got a good one too. So Ben Hobbs, a great way to kick that off.
And back to the Dockers. Dan, are you annoyed that Richmond took that pick, or that you thought this would play out?
Well, I could have got Hobbs at the last selection, and I had my eye on a WA homegrown product in Neil Erasmus from Subiaco. Hobbs, I think, is very similar to the, you know, the Andrew Brayshaw, Caleb Sarong types at that sort of under 185 centimetres. Neil Erasmus offers something different at 192 centimetres, overhead marking, contested ball winning. Only just started playing in the midfield this year, so I think his upside is considerable. Also a December birth, so, you know, even more upside there. So I think he's one who will, you know, transition into the midfield as Nat Fyfe moves forward.
That rounds out the top 10 here of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast mock draft. Some interesting selections. We'll be back after the break to see who is picked next.
And now, Jordan, we're back to you with St Kilda has their first pick in the draft at pick 11. We've mentioned with a few clubs, but the Saints definitely another one where there's, well, I guess all the recruiters are under pressure, but, you know, where their list is at, they really need to nail their picks. So who do you reckon they could grab with pick 11?
Interesting one. Haven't a lot. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think I just can't let Mac Andrew slide any more here. Dandenong Stingrays, ruckman key position prospect. You know, arguably got the highest ceiling of any player in the draft. He takes the ball so cleanly at ground level for a big man. And I said on our show last week, you know, think sort of Nick Natanui in the ruck with better skills long term. So, you know, in terms of his body size, probably not ready, but his footy smarts and his IQ and what he does around the ground shows that, you know, he can step in and play some sort of role in the not too distant future if he can put on that weight. So Mac Andrew at the Saints here at pick 11. I had a few other guys on my list, but seeing as he got through, I'm going to snap him up.
So is he a ruckman or where do you see him playing?
I think so, longer term. One of those very good following up on the ground level too. So, you know, he can leap over blokes to give them first use, but I think his real weapon is what he can do then away from the contest and finding the footy himself. So, interesting one to see how he develops.
Mac Andrew, Rowan Marshall partnership sounds all right going forward if you're a Saints fan. So we'll see how that one plays out. Now, pick 12, Dan, you've got the West Coast Eagles.
Would have loved to snap up Mac Andrew there as a bit of a Nick Natanui replacement with the better kick as well, as Jordan has mentioned. It's a little drive-by there for Nick Nat. But you look at the West Coast midfield and they're really lacking in quality ball users, you know, very same midfield. And that's why I'm going to go with Nazai Wanganeen-Miller from Glenelg, one of Jordan's favourites in the draft. He provides, you know, the elite kicking in spades on either side, and I think it makes sense for the Eagles to pick him up, you know, at this early selection at 12.
Now, pick 13 is Essendon, but am I getting a call coming through?
He's calling himself.
I've been on the phone to Adrian Dodoro as the Tigers. I answered the phone call as well in this exercise. I am both teams. But there's a player still on the board that I really like for the Tigers, and I've spoken to the Bombers previously about, you know, at the moment they've got the picks 13, which is pushed out, and 53, nothing in between. So I'm going to send the Tigers pick 17 and 30, ooh, that last pick in that trio in that second round, to the Bombers for 13, which is pushed out, and 53. So Tigers moving up four spots, and the Bombers, I guess, moving down four spots to get that extra pick inside the top 30. So a good deal for both parties here. And the player I like for the Tigers, Josh Sinn at number 13 from the Sandringham Dragons. You know, as I mentioned, this is why I've come up as the Tigers to get in. You've got the inside grunt of Ben Hobbs, and you know, Sinn offers that outside speed the Tigers are looking for right away. And spoken previously, you know, his long arms, clean hands, 186 centimetres. He's got the potential to develop into that game-breaking midfielder too. So I love the Hobbs-Sinn combo for the Tigers, and that's why I've come up the board.
What's Josh Sinn's story just quickly? Because he was touted as a potential number one, you know, maybe a year or two ago, but what's happened since then?
Just a lack of exposure from COVID, and then he's been injured a fair bit too this season. So, and as Dan mentioned, you know, his kicking was a little bit off and he wasn't as convincing in some of his NAB League appearances this year. So just that lack of exposure now to build on what he did in the previous two seasons. So, but, you know, plenty know just what sort of potential and what player he can become at the top level.
All right. So, yeah, that gives you a bit of an indication, folks, how live trading could work on draft night. That'd be pretty exciting if that plays out that way. But, Dan, we're now to pick 14, Port Adelaide, coming into the draft for the first time.
Yeah, and obviously this is the one they shuffled back in that Peter Laddams trade. I still think they're going to secure a nice player here. A few options I considered, Josh Goda or even a Tyler Sonzi as a smaller midfielder. But, yeah, you know, you think about Josh Goda, he's a similar type to Connor Rosie and Zach Butters, I think, is that sort of spark plug forward or midfielder type. And I'm going to be going with Matt Johnson from Subiaco, a taller midfielder, 192 centimetres, more of a creative forward half type. He's a great decision maker and provides some class in there in the coalface. Played some great footy towards the back end of the year, and I feel he is a nice fit for the Power, who, you know, their midfield, that, you know, got Travis Boak and Wines. I think he adds something different to their mix.
And back to the Giants. They're back in the action again, Jordan, at pick 15.
Plenty of good players still left on the board here, but I'm going to, you know, go on what Adrian Caruso told us as well about, you know, the Giants aren't just going to pick the best available players anymore, given the makeup of the list. They want players who can come in and fit into their 22 and fill a hole, fill a need. So with the Shelley through the door, and lock in Jacob Van Ruin from Claremont over in WA. Key forward defender, he's a swing man. He's played at either end of the ground and he dominated in the air as a defender and kicked bags of goals at Waffle Colts level too. So, you know, he's as strong as any key position prospect in the draft as well. So he's more advanced physically than some of them, which is important for the Giants as well, given what sort of premiership window they're in.
I think you've got the next few picks here. Dan could probably go and get a coffee or something if you wanted to take a little break.
Later, guys.
We've got Brisbane Lions coming up next with pick 16. Still with you, Jordan.
Interesting one. I've got a few of these picks in the next four or five, but for the Lions here, I think I'm taking the best available. And for me, Josh Goda, the Calder Cannons, is that, there are a number of other prospects who would address that need for speed off halfback for the Lions. But I think Goda's just too good to overlook here. You know, he's likely to start his career in defence after impressed as an interceptor in the NAB League. I think that does suit what the Lions need right away. But his potential as an athletic 190-centimetre midfielder, brilliant in traffic, explosive. That's the exciting part of what Goda could become at the Lions. So best available, Josh Goda here at 16.
And 17 is Essendon, which is the pick they just traded with Richmond a couple of minutes ago in this mock draft exercise. So would part of the thinking there be that they might still be able to get the player they had their eye on with that earlier pick anyway?
Yeah, definitely. And people we've spoken to, and Dan and I agree on it as well. It's very even, especially in that 10 to 20, even 10 to 25 range. Recruiters around the country are split on some of these players too. So, you know, I was happy to trade back a few spots to gain an extra pick in the 30 as the Bombers. And I'm even happier now that Campbell Chesser from the Sandringham Dragons is still on the table. I'm going to lock him in for the Bombers at pick 17. You know, he's explosive. He just makes things happen. And his speed and foot skills on the outside complement what the Bombers already have already. Pretty balanced list, but you know, I think what he brings adds to their mix already. So he's probably unlikely to slide too much further on the night as well.
Yeah, that'll be a good result for the Bombers. And pick 18, we're still with you, Jordan, with the Swans.
Still with me. yeah, there's a few here. You know, they need a tall midfielder, a goal-kicking midfielder. There's a few available, but I think Darcy Wilmot from the Northern Knights, for me, the youngest player in the draft pool, a lot of scope for improvement. But the key thing here, you know, with Jordan Dawson moving to the Crows, Callum Mills now a permanent fixture in that midfield. I think Wilmot and his line-breaking run from defence is a great fit in Sydney. And, you know, he's clean and defensively as tough, as competitive as they come. So one that can sort of fit in right away and play a role and feel that need for more speed at the Swans across halfback. So plenty of interest in him within the team. So if I'm not snapping up him now with Sydney, he wouldn't last too much longer, I would have thought.
And Dan, you're finally back in here, pick 19. This was originally a Bulldogs pick at 17, but they did a trade with the Demons. So Melbourne has a pick, which now, as we say, has been pushed back a couple by those early father-son bids. So who could the Premiers add at pick 19 here? They don't seem to have any obvious real list needs at the moment.
That's right, yeah. That's why I feel like I can probably go with a best available selection, tossing up between Tyler Sonzi and Arlo Draper. I would have loved to pick up potentially a Chesser or Wilmot, but obviously they've taken in the previous two selections. So I'm going to go with Arlo Draper from South Adelaide, a real upside and unique talent in this draft pool, 186 centimetres. He's a great overhead mark and kicks him. You know, he's great at ground level as well, can kick some, you know, some magical goals. So, and he has been used sort of all over the ground. And, you know, there has been a knock on him about whether, you know, he hasn't settled down for a particular position, but I don't think that's necessarily a hindrance. I think that just shows his versatility as a player. So I think he could be a nice X-factor player to add to Melbourne's very talented mix.
And Jordan, with the last pick of the first round, so the way the draft's going to work next week, am I right in saying that this will be the last pick on night one, which will be the Brisbane yes. Lions?
Yep. as the order stands in the at the moment, and I think for me as Brisbane again, I'm going to take the best available for them, given what they've already got. Can't let this guy slide anymore. Tyler Sonzi from the Eastern Rangers, you know. Tom Brown, Rhett Bazo provides some strength there in defence for the Lions, but seeing as Dan let Sonzi through, thought he was going to take him with the Ds. I'm going to pick him up here. Goal-kicking midfielder, terrific skills, you know, keeps his feet, he's rarely rushed. So I think a great addition despite Brisbane's impressive midfield.
So that would wrap up night one of the draft. We're just going to keep rolling into at least five more picks now. So overnight, there probably will be some haggling. And we saw during the trade period that Fremantle, who has the first pick of the second round, was very reluctant to give that up because they thought maybe it has a bit of currency. Once clubs see who's gone in the first round, they can go home and do their homework and maybe make some kind of offer and try and Freo could get something for that pick at the start of the second round. So is that what we're seeing here, Dan?
Yeah, well, while Jordan had about 15 picks in a row, I was able to put my Geelong hat on and offer Fremantle an offer they couldn't refuse. So the Dockers holding that first pick on the second round of the draft, pick 21. They've traded that to Geelong for Geelong's pick 32 and 34. I think it's a deal that satisfies both parties, allows the Dockers to pick up a couple of sliders in the 30s, and Geelong to nab what could have been a father-son selection in Tom Brown from the Murray Bush Rangers, who is the son of Paul Brown, who actually played in I think about 80 games for the Cats during the 90s. So just misses out on that father-son qualification of 100 games. But he's an intercept defender, really speedy. I think that's something that the Cats really lack is that speed off half-back. And obviously after losing Jordan Clark, they could use some more injection of pace. So, and I think his intercept work will really assist Tom Stewart as well. And he tested really well at the combine. So he's certainly an athletic prospect.
You know, I guess part of the equation there is going to be for other clubs to maybe make an offer to the Dockers, but also for them to see who's left on the board, who might have slid through and who they think they might be able to get if they did a little deal. So, yeah, that one will be very interesting to watch. Now, pick 22, North Melbourne, I believe, has this selection coming in after they had pick one. What do they do with pick 22?
I'm going to make a bid, Al. I think they could use a running defender, and I'm going to place a bid on Josh Fay from the Giants Academy. And I think that's to Jordan to match that now.
Yeah, interesting. A little bit early. The Giants do believe Fay falls somewhere between the 15 and 30. So it might not be too surprising. But considering I've got Rochelle Van Ruin in the door, I will match the bid for Josh Fay here from North. You know, he's defensively minded, long kicking, speedster from defence. And I think it sort of rounds off a nice little draft haul here for the Giants. He's tough too. And he comes from a rugby background with his family. So I'll be matching a bid and, you know, could potentially come around this mark, the Giants believe, on Wednesday as well. And for those keeping track of the draft points for pick 22, the Giants need 845 draft value points to match the bid. So in this exercise, unless they trade, this their remaining picks are gone. They're going to slight deficit for next year as well.
So clubs can do that. They can go into negative points to try and match a bid for this draft.
Yeah. And, you know, if these sort of situations pop up, they might then work trades out on the night as well. But for Dan and I to do too much of that would be a little bit complex. So for this exercise, we've wiped the Giants off the board after this pick.
Okay. So North still has the bid or their pick at number 23 now.
Yeah, and I mentioned that running defenders may be a need. Also, key defenders, you know, they're looking a little bit slim with obviously Ben McKay there, but not too much else. So I'm going to go for a draft bolter in Lek Alir from Central District, from South Australia, a mature ager, absolutely starred this year as an intercept defender with his vertical leap, which was on show during the AFL draft combine, where he broke the record with 106-centimetre running vertical jump. So he's got, you know, a very high ceiling, pardon the pun, and I think that he'll be a really nice addition there in the next couple of years. He's pretty raw, but you know, his upside is undoubted.
Okay, so pick 24 now is Hawthorn. So back to you, Jordan.
Yep, Josh Ward in the door. I think this guy is then too hard to go past. Sam Butler, the younger brother of St Kilda's Dan at pick 24 here for the Hawks. You know, he's clean at the contest. He's terrific athletically too, which, you know, enables him to explode away from congestion. And I like him in the midfield in the future. But, you know, he's got a great balance and a great offensive-defensive balance as a forward too. And I think that's where he fits in at the Hawthorn, in the Hawthorn side right away. There's a spot for him there in that role. So I think he fills a couple of needs over the long term for the Hawks and a nice pairing with Josh Ward in inside 25.
And with that pick 25, we're back to the Cats. And Dan, they've managed to get Tom Brown already, so that gives him another nice selection in the top 25.
Absolutely, Al. And I'm going to go with a local product here with Sam Butler off the board. He would have been another nice addition to the Cats. But I'm going to go with Mitch Nevitt from the Geelong Falcons, an inside midfielder, 193 centimetres, and I think he'll help improve the age profile of Geelong's ageing midfield. And he isn't just another Charlie Constable type who they did delist. He offers blistering speed and contested marking as well up forward. And he spoke yesterday at the draft day saying that his goal was to play next year, and I think he's capable of that considering his size and his speed endurance mix. So, yeah, another nice pickup for the Cats, and, yeah, one who could, you know, play from the get-go.
The top 25 is done. A very interesting first round and a little bit, some interesting names, some live trades, all of it. We'll be back after the break to go through your club's haul more in depth and see who went in the later rounds of the mock draft.
Now, we've done 25 picks and we would love to just keep going through all the way to, I think there's like some clubs that picked in the 90s, but that probably would take a little bit too long. Maybe we'll just do that as a subscriber special later, you know, nearly midnight or something and go all night. But just for the sake of this exercise, we're going to go through the rest of the draft. And you guys sort of did that live, the mock draft, the top 25, but some of the later picks, you've sort of nutted them out beforehand. So we'll just go through club by club and see who we think clubs could get from here and when you sort of take the whole draft into account. So if we're going from going alphabetically, I think, Dan, you had the Crows. So what sort of hand do they have sort of after the second round and ongoing?
They have a solid hand. So they have a pick in the second round, or I think the third round there. And I went with a bit of a funny bugger's bid on Jace Burgoyne, and which was matched by obviously Power Father Son, which was matched. So, and I ended up going with Sam Banks, who was a running defender. Eamon Wilkinson, a bit later in the piece, a small forward, a mature age small forward from the sample, and Ben DeBolfo, a sort of medium defender who can play on smalls and talls. I think that sort of fits all their list needs fairly well.
And Brisbane, Jordan, you were looking after the Lions?
Yep, so I went with the need at 43, ended up being early in the third round for the Lions. Alistair Law, dashing defender from over here in the Sandful, you know, the best agility time nationally in the draft combine, and sort of came storming home after an injury-affected year. So he suits. And then with the last pick, I've gone for Greg Clark, a guy, an inside tall midfielder, 192 centimetres, who's dominated the waffle competition for a number of years now. I think him coming in, taking a bit of a stab there to really fill a hole if, say, the Lions get an injury, and provide some extra grunt there if they need it. We know how long an AFL season is. And, you know, just before we go into the next picks, you know, the Lions might not take five players, which is what we've done for this exercise. Mm. And later in the piece, the teams will upgrade their rookies or pass. But the exercise, we've gone through most of it. We've gone to 68, made sure every club's had their three players that they need to draft, and then picked a few extras with some other clubs just to see how the prospects might fall.
Now, Dan, you've got Carlton, and we haven't actually heard from Carlton yet because their draft pick is 25, and as we've seen, that'd be pushed back a few spots by some of these father-son bids. Now, also, they suddenly have a vacancy for a key defender. Is that something you've taken into account?
I sure have, and apologies to the Carlton fans who have tuned in for 39 minutes to not see any picks at all, but you've got an absolute steal here, I think, late in the second round at pick 27 in Jesse Motlop, a small forward from South Fremantle. He's tied to them as to Fremantle as a next-generation academy prospect, but they can only match for metropolitan prospects inside the top 40, so it means that he goes straight to Carlton, outside the top 40 selections. But, yeah, so he's a nice prospect. He's played a lot of waffle footy this year. Nick Austin, their list boss, spoke earlier in the year, after the trade period, saying that small forward was a need for them, and he certainly fits the bill, I think. But as you mentioned, Al, they have an opening as a key defender due to Liam Jones's controversial retirement. I've gone with a couple of key defenders, one a mature age, one that will probably need some development. So Oscar Adams, with one of their picks in the 50s, is a key defender, interceptor from Adelaide, from Glenelg, sorry, and Blake Schlensog, who some super coaches may remember. He was a 102K rookie from back in the day. But, yeah, he's got delisted by Geelong last year with the DFA, delisted free agency period ending. It means that he's available to everyone in the draft, and I'll be picking him up, who's a key position forward defender who starred at waffle level this year. I think he can fill an immediate need for the Blues next season.
And next up, Collingwood. Jordan, I've lost track of the maths here to know even what picks they've got from here, but there's certainly one player they want to be able to pick up at least.
Yeah, we pushed him back out after the matching the bid to 53, ended up here just the back end of the third round, the last pick of the third round. So I picked Morgan Ferris from over here in the Sandful from Sturt, 190 centimetre forward, who plays a little bit taller than his height, great athletically, great endurance, a smart footballer too. So he sort of feels a bit of a taller, mid-sized goal-kicking need for the Pies. And James Willis, also the back end of the draft for their third player from North Adelaide, an explosive forward midfielder, injured late in the season, but impressed a lot of people around the country with what he did at under 18 level. So James Withers could turn out to be a nice little get for the Pies very late in the draft.
Yeah, don't they have another academy player that they had their eye on? Yusuf Dib, I believe. I don't know much about him, but what do you think is going to happen there?
So didn't end up nominating as a Collingwood academy prospect. Oh, they didn't do that. So he's there for anyone to pick on draft night. There was no bids in this draft, in our mock draft. So potentially if we were to go and do the rookie draft, it could be someone that could slide onto to Collingwood's list there, I reckon.
Yeah, okay, interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. And you've got the Bombers as well up next.
I do. So a good draft hand, as we mentioned, for the Bombers. Campbell Chesser fell through early, and then Blake Howes, I think, just inside 30. Another one who the Bombers would be pretty happy, I think, if he slides through. A tall, athletic wingman is what he projects as. And so, yeah, the Bombers to get him in this mock draft just inside 30 would be a nice little get. And then a little bit later on, I went with Paul Curtis, damaging goal kicker from the Western Jets over in the NAB League. Brings plenty of X factor to the forward line and fills the need for the Bombers as a goal kicking sort of small to medium forward going forward.
And Dan, you had a couple of picks already for the Dockers. What have they got left?
Yeah, so obviously that live trade. So they're the two picks in the 30s of the Cats in 36 and 38, I believe it was. And yeah, Corey Warner was one I picked up who sort of slid through. There's been talk about him potentially being a top 30 selection. Blitz, the combine, the brother of Sydney's Chad Warner. You know, he's an explosive runner and has a great vertical leap. And you know, he's more of a wingman than Chad, but a nice little pickup, I think. For the Dockers, also Toby Conway, a ruckman who slid to I think it might have been the third round. So, yeah, a decent pickup there for them, I think, as well. And Eric Benning received a bid, which I matched from Collingwood. So he's a key forward tied to their NGA academy. Also, the brother of Shane McAdam. So, yeah, very athletic, tall, who hopefully will sort of boost their key position stocks.
Yeah, I bid on Eric Benning. I thought it was early enough to get him in the door at the Pies, but the Frio and Dan just matched him. So Dockers will be hoping it comes a little bit later, but you know, plenty of talent there.
And you mentioned that trade, Dan. You've got the Cats as well.
Yes, I do. And managed to pick up another couple of, very promising selections in the second and third round. I've got Judson Clark, who's an X factor forward. He's probably one of the most damaging forward half players in this year's draft. Kicked five goals in the Victorian trial match earlier this year, and also managed to nab Connor McDonald, who was a prolific midfielder in the NAB League at pick 47. So I think the Cats would be absolutely pretty stoked with that haul if they were able to pull off that live trade.
Now, going alphabetically, we've got Gold Coast next, but they actually only have one live pick, which they might be regretting that now, given what's happened with Hugh Greenwood. They effectively gave Will Brody away for nothing and thought they'd only need one pick on draft night. So we'll see what happens with them. Maybe they'll pick up an extra rookie or something. But and then GWS next, they've used all their picks as well, as we talked about earlier, with using some trades and getting everybody they want in the door fairly early. So we go to Hawthorn. Jordan, who do you think they'll be able to pick up maybe in some of the later rounds? There's a lot of names there I can see.
Just on the Suns, they've pre-listed some of their academy guys as well to come and take those place of the three spots they have to fill in the national draft. And just on Geelong, some of Dan's best work, I think, as a Geelong recruiter in this mock draft, a nice little hand.
Stephen Wells.
Yeah, look out.
The famous.
Going for his job. But so Hawthorn had, I took Sam Butler with that, the last pick, the 24, I think it was. They had a pick just outside the 25. And Jack Williams I went with to fill that need for some key position depth there. Another WA tool who can play at either end of the ground. He's played in the ruck, but just his marking as a forward his ability to bring others into the game, I think, suits there. Rounds out a nice top three for the Hawks, and also picked up Lachlan Rankin, a skillful, dynamic forward midfielder. He's played all over the ground from over there in Victoria. And then rounded out for the exercise, we'll cut the South Australians with Hugh Jackson. A balanced midfielder, wins the ball on the inside and delivers well with his left foot on the outside late in the piece. And Cooper Beacon, who is a Hawthorn player, looks like a Hawthorn player. If you've watched him play, he moves a bit like Will Day. He just got long arms, intercepts well, and rakes on a raking left foot. So I think Cooper Beacon coming into the year was touted as a player that could go a lot higher than this. Played a few different roles for Glenelg over here in the under-18s and the reserves. But in terms of talent, and he's just got it. So I think a club will take a punt on him later in the draft. Happy to get him late with Hawks.
Yeah, that'd be a good club to watch on draft night. And then going forward, if Sam Mitchell plays the kids, we should get to see a few of these guys, which would be great. Now, Dan, you had the Demons. So they are in the great position of just being able to sit back and put their feet up and just pick their eyes out of whoever happens to be available.
We lost Dan.
Oh, no, Dan. Can you hear us, Dan?
All right, oh, yeah. He's out. So, yeah. Well, obviously, Arlo Draper for D's with Dan, with Angus Sheldrick, a nuggety, tough on ball from over in WA, who's a nice pick there for the D's. Pretty happy with that combo. Lewis Rayson over here, a halfback from Glenelg. And then Josh Wrench, the tie for the Morris medal over there. In the NAB League, a really tough, strong, big goal kicker, real presence in the forward line, so it sort of suits them, I think, going forward for the D's. Dan's back. I've just gone through your Melbourne picks. Obviously matched a bid for Tajwo Woden as well. We're up to North Melbourne now, Dan.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for taking the reins from me there. That's a dodgy internet connection. But, yeah, with North Melbourne's picks, so we had a couple of picks after that. Corey Preston is one who I actually forgot to mention. I've got to include into that little graphic there, but he's a defender forward, a dynamic and impact at both ends. And I think he's a 19-year-old prospect who I think can be a really versatile option there for the Ruse. And Kai Lohmann, who could be anything in this draft. His highlights package is something to behold from the NAB League, can take high marks and do some magical things at ground level with his speed and crumbing. So, yeah, another nice pickup there for the Ruse. And I think we move on to Port Adelaide now, which is me again. Yep. So we had Matt Johnson before, alluded to Jace Burgoyne, who obviously I matched the bid of from me. The other pick I selected a little bit later in the draft was Arthur Jones, who he's a bit of a live wire, small forward wingman, a raw type. He burst onto the scene during the National Carnival later in the year with a couple of goals on grand final day and some blistering runs in the final championships game. So I think he's one who'll take time, but he's got plenty of talent.
I hope he gets a chance. I don't know. When was the last time we had an Arthur in the AFL? That'd be great to see.
1981.
Richmond up next. And as it stands, they've got three picks in a row in the 20s. But as we saw earlier, they might be doing some wheeling and dealing with those. What do you think they'll end up with?
I had Kai Lohmann, Dan mentioned there, on my hit list for the Tigers. I think at one stage just pit me, I think, two picks ahead late there for the Tigers. But I'm pretty happy with this hand out. If as a Tiger supporter, I think you would too. You got Hobbs and Sin at the top. Then you got the second best kick in the draft. I think Zach Taylor with their third pick rounded out with Rhett Bazo, who from WA fills that key position depth hole and the future to take over from some of your key tools down there. And Brady Huff as well, WA teammate, makes really good decisions, very composed on the ball, 189 centimetres, can take a nice mark on the lead. Can play sort of anywhere, but I think it's probably best served playing as a high half forward wingman who's delivering the ball inside 50 and hitting the scoreboard himself. So a nice little hand for the Tigers. They've got a great draft hand, so it'll be interesting to see what they actually do next Wednesday night and see if they can sort of really kickstart this mini turbo rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild on the run. That's all right. And you've got the Saints next as well. So St Kilda's got a couple of pretty promising academy kids coming through. So how did that play out?
Oh, Batten's cleaned me out on my picks. I'm not going to get any picks next year. I've gone into deficit to match the betting. Marcus Winhager and was bid pick 30, and then only three spots later was Michito Owens as well. But I think they might do some wheeling and dealing. They did also last week to give themselves some extra pick in that mid to late round to bank some points. So I think if they go into deficit in this exercise, they definitely did and took those academy guys who, you know, add some real power and speed and some X factor to that midfield.
And you've got the Swans as well.
Yeah, took obviously Darcy Wilmot defender, and they've taken another speedy midfielder forward, Cooper Murley, some say, reminds them of Zach Butters' place for Nord over here in the sample. Injury-ravaged year, but, you know, was touted as a sort of top 15 pick a couple of years ago, given his body of work coming up through the junior pathway. So a nice get by the Swans. I think the Crows will be right in the mix, potentially, if the Swans didn't sweep at that point. And then I filled a hole, their key position hole in defence, Charlie Dean, mature ager from over there. Williamstown in the VFL, I think there'll be a lot of clubs interested in him, so I jumped on him in the 40s for the Swans to sort of play a role right away in defence.
And just a couple of clubs to go. Dan, who do you like for the Eagles? Who do you reckon they might be talking about after draft night?
Yeah, it's a good question. They have a few picks later on in the piece. So in the second round, I managed to snare a slider in Matty Roberts, who had been talked about in first round calculations, but it's really sort of, you know, dropped off, I think, in the minds of recruiters. So he seems to be more in that second round mix now, but I think he's still a good get for the Eagles, you know, a young inside midfielder. Also can play forward as well, which he showed at sample level. And, there has been knocks over his athleticism, but I think that, you know, he's just a natural footballer and will be a reliable inside midfielder in time. I went a little bit left field with the next pick for the Eagles. I think it was at pick 39. I went Noah Pegoraro, who, you know, is a mature age prospect, 24 years old, and he's an intercept marking machine, led the Waffle in intercept possessions this year. And I think that, you know, plucking a homegrown product, that, you know, I've got Jerry McGovern, they've got Barras down there as well, but I think he can really solidify them into the future as a key back. And with their last selection, I went with another homegrown product in Joshua Cripps, obviously the brother of Patrick Cripps, but a very different proposition altogether. 199 centimetres as a key forward ruck. He's very skillful and mobile for his size. It tested really well for agility at the National Combine. So I think that he may be more of a late-to-rookie chance as a mature age prospect, but some of his form showed this year that he can be a really damaging prospect as either a ruckman or a key forward.
And rounding yourself with all the clubs, Jordan, the Bulldogs, so they obviously had to give up a heap of picks to match that early bid for Sam Darcy. So what can they do with what they've got left?
A few shockwaves sent by Dan, these West Coast picks there when we were doing the offline draft over the past couple of days. But I do like Josh Cripps and what his potential. With the Dogs, we sort of pushed him back into the draft late after lots of their picks got wiped out. I've taken Hugh Stagg from over here in the sample. He won a medal for the best player in the sample under-18 competition. He's Glenelg's captain. Powerful, explosive midfielder. He's hard to stop in congestion, but what sets him apart is his goal kicking. 24 goals, 14 from the midfield. He rests forwards, hard to stop. So I think he can offer the Dogs something in the front half. And he did confirm on radio here recently as well that the Dogs and Brisbane were the two clubs showing the most interest. So potentially could pounce on him late, maybe even in the rookie draft. And the last pick of our mock draft, pick 68.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah. Get them their third player. The other clubs passed in front of them. Dante Vicentini from Sandringham, 201 centimetre, real competitive, strong, physical ruckman. They need one, given for the future. And, you know, clubs don't always tend to draft ruckman, but in this exercise, feels a need. And I think to round off the mock draft, the Dogs could take a punt on a big man.
All right, so there you have it. All 68 picks as we've presented them. in this mock draft exercise. Dan, who won?
Definitely me. I think the Cats had a very nice haul, if I do say so myself. But I don't mind the Dockers haul either. Also, the Tigers, I think, did very well. As a Tigers fan, I'd be absolutely stoked with that array of talent that Jordan picked up.
I mean, looking at those names, and you mentioned a couple of times, Jordan, which makes your job pretty difficult, but how even and what's the overall quality like of this draft? It looks pretty good.
Yeah, and we've spoken about it's a midfielders-heavy draft as well. Next year, different story with the tools coming through. So a lot of standout midfielders, as you can see, with the players we've picked here. But it's pretty even, and, you know, another year of interrupted footy over there in Victoria makes it hard in terms of exposure. So a lot of players that weren't picked, you know, could be picked in the rookie draft or could be overlooked altogether. So not a lot splitting some players around the country, and recruiters have differing views on some of them. So interesting to see how it all pans out. A lot of names that we were sort of close to selecting could fall in a rookie draft if we do get there before next week. But it's going to be interesting next Thursday night just to see who goes late and what these clubs are picking on. Plenty of potential there. But with a lot of them, we haven't seen them play a lot of footy over the past 24 months. So interesting to see if the club sort of jump in without seeing too much.
All right, fantastic. Yeah, we'll definitely be obviously watching that extremely closely. There'll be lots of live coverage all across the News Corp websites, heraldsun.com.au, advertiser.com.au. We'll have everything you need to know on Wednesday night for the first round of the draft, Thursday night for the rest of the draft, and then I think Friday we come back for the rookie draft and the preseason draft, if that's a thing anymore. But between now and then, we'll have heaps of content too. As you say, a phantom draft leading in where we think we'll try and be digging around to get all the mail from all our reporters to see which way we think clubs might be leaning and who they're looking at. And all the profiles are up at the moment and videos from yesterday at the out at the training session too. So lots of content to get into. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Dan. We've kept it under an hour, so I reckon that's a pretty good job. We'll be back here pretty soon, I reckon, for another one of these.
Yeah, check out the full, obviously, 68 picks. You can run through it all shortly this afternoon. We'll get that up on this link here. So check back soon, run through all the picks as they happen.
Yeah, that's right. Just, refresh this article in about 5 minutes, hopefully. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, Jordan and Dan. And
maybe we'll catch 50. You all again.
We'll catch you soon.
There it is, the Herald Sun Footy Podcast mock draft. I hope you're happy with who your club picked in this exercise. You can go to heraldsun.com.au, advertisers.com.au to see every pick. See all the bids and all the trades and see how unfolded in full. We'll be back here next week on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We're close now and plenty still to play. We'll be back with all the latest news.